And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, there's our text there, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou should lookest upon me such as look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Therefore, and thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Fear not. This is not a word from God, but it's a word from David to Mephibosheth. And how welcome this must have sounded to the young man Mephibosheth. Here's his story. His grandfather Saul and his daddy Jonathan were both killed in battle. News of the king's death and Prince Jonathan's death quickly reached the palace. Well, now, here's a young prince who quite naturally would be next in line to the throne. He's about 5 years old, and his name is Mephibosheth. News reaches the palace that the king has died in battle, and that Prince Jonathan has also died in battle. So naturally, the servants begin to make preparations to protect the young prince Mephibosheth, which is exactly what you would do, right? The next in line for the throne, you would immediately take him to safety. And so the nurse scooped up young Mephibosheth off the floor where he was no doubt playing with his toys and began to run with the young prince to take him somewhere to safety. And she dropped him. And I don't know anything about the drop. I don't know how far she dropped him. I don't know how he landed. But that drop, when that nurse dropped Mephibosheth, it hurt him in both of his legs. And from that day forward, he was lame in his legs. Mephibosheth could not walk. Of course, we know he was never going to be king, was he? We know that. Because God had already chosen David. God had already chosen David. Because of Saul's disobedience, especially in the area of the Amalekites, Brother Brian mentioned it last week, Saul was supposed to kill all the Amalekites, men, women, children, beasts. Everything was to be destroyed because the Amalekites were a wicked, wicked, wicked people. And Saul disobeyed. And so God took the kingdom from Saul. And he anointed David as the next king of Israel. And so Mephibosheth was never going to be on the throne. But now they didn't know that. This nurse didn't know that. Those in the palace would have anticipated that Mephibosheth would have risen to the throne. Well, David does become king. And Mephibosheth is basically forgotten. He's basically forgotten. Being taken care of probably by Ziba, maybe. Probably poorly taken care of is kind of the sense that I get. And here he is for the next decade and a half living as a handicapped person would live, whose glory is gone, whose future is gone, whose hope is gone. And I don't know what kind of existence Mephibosheth had, but I'm going to guess it wasn't great. But 16 years later, David desires to do something for someone in the house of Saul. David desires to show some kind of kindness, give some kind of gift, do something good, do something nice for someone in the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. In the memory of Jonathan. Now listen, this is, people do this. We've all seen it. In a funeral notice, in lieu of flowers, give money to, whatever. When Norm passed, you said in lieu of flowers, give money to the church. And the church bought these screens and a new system. And so all these screens and the system there was bought from money that they gave in memorial to Norm. So David wants to give something to someone in the house of Saul in memory of Jonathan. In memory of his good friend, his dear friend, he wants to do good to somebody. And he's told about lame Mephibosheth. And he sends for him. Now imagine the fear. Now we know he was afraid. We know Mephibosheth was afraid. Because David tells him, fear not. So we know he was afraid. Imagine the fear running through his heart. And imagine the fear running through his mind as he receives an invitation from the king. He may have thought, he probably thought, a normal person would have thought, he's going to get rid of me. He's going to get rid of me because I'm a threat. Because I am, quote unquote, the rightful heir to the throne. He sees me as opposition. He sees me as a threat. That's probably what's going through his mind. We know he was afraid, right? Because David had to tell him, fear not. We know he was afraid. Well, what was he afraid of? He's probably afraid of being eliminated. This chapter number 9 is a beautiful picture of our salvation. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I beg of you to listen over the next 15 or 20 minutes. There's 8 truths that we can see in this passage. First of all, they were naturally enemies. Mephibosheth and David were naturally enemies. And what I mean by that is one was royal blood. Mephibosheth was royal blood. His daddy was the king. His granddaddy was the king. And his daddy was the prince. He was royal blood. He should have been in line for the throne. But the new royal blood, chosen by God Himself, is David. And that puts these two men at enmity between each other. And that's where the fear came in. And I want you to understand, before we were saved, we were enemies of God and enemies of Christ. The Bible says that we were enemies of Him. And you might say, oh, before I was a Christian, I was never an enemy of God. Well, I hope you don't say that. I hope you don't think that. I hope you know better. I hope you know more about salvation than that. Because if you were not for God, you were against God. And you were a rebel. You did not obey His word. You did not love Him. You did not follow His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You were an enemy to God. Now you may not in your mind have thought that. You may not have been one of those people that always would go outside and shake his fist at the heavens and cuss God. You may not have done that. But if you'll be honest, you realize that you were not for God. You did not love His Son. You did not obey His commandments. You were an enemy of God. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to understand that. If you're not a Christian, you are an enemy of God. And He will one day mete out His judgment upon you. You are a rebel. You do not love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You are disobedient to God. And you are enemies. You are enemies. You can't say, well, I wasn't a Christian, but I was a friend. No. No. If you're not for God, you're against Him. And if you're not His son, you're His enemy. If you're not His daughter, you're His enemy. There's no such thing as being not a son of God, but a friend. There is no. You're either the son of God, or your father is the devil. Right? You are either a son of God, or your father is the devil. And there's no such thing as a friendship, but I'm not a Christian, but I'm a friend. No, you're an enemy. And these two men were at odds. They were enemies. And that explains the fear of Mephibosheth. The second truth is that Mephibosheth was lame through a fall. Through a fall. He was dropped by his nurse. He landed wrong. He hurt both of his legs, both of his feet. And he was lame through a fall. And of course, we too have been damaged by a fall. A spiritual fall. A fall from the grace of God. A fall from the fellowship of God. Adam and Eve, created by God. God was their maker. They were in the garden, fellowship with God, walked in the cool of the evening in the garden with God, loved God, obeyed God until they didn't. And they disobeyed God and they fell out of fellowship. They fell out of communion. And there was now a separation between God and man. They were literally put out of the garden, and the entrance to the garden was guarded by an angel with a fiery sword, They were damaged spiritually. They began to die physically because of this fall from grace. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 12, Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam and his wife Eve fell into sin. They fell away from the fellowship of God, from the grace of God, from the communion with God. They fell away from all of that. And the Bible says because of that fall, and I've been teaching for a couple of weeks on the fall of man, because of that fall, their sinful nature has been passed upon all men. And the Bible says that all men have sinned. You are by nature separated from God. You by nature are at enmity with God. You by nature are a rebel against God. You by nature are not a Christian. You're not. You're an enemy of Christ. And it's the fall of Adam and Eve, your ancestors. And again, we may think in our minds, it's not fair that I should be that way because they were that way. But the truth is, sir, or the truth is, ma'am, if God had placed you in the garden, you would have fallen as well. You would have fallen as well. Mephibosheth, in proximity, was a long way from the king. Distance, a great distance from the king. Lodabar is where Mephibosheth resided. And from Lodabar to Jerusalem is about the distance from Morgantown to Pittsburgh. A great distance between the two. In other words, Mephibosheth wasn't, he didn't live in Jerusalem. He didn't live near the palace. He didn't live anywhere near David. He lived, you know, who knows how long it took him, days to make that distance. In fact, Lodabar means no word, no communication. Okay? It's like living out in the western end of Mon County. Right, Jacob? And you got no police radio service out there. No cell phone service out there. Nobody knows. In fact, when the officers would go out past 100, you know, 100 and out way to the western end of the county, we always wondered why they didn't send them out there in twos. Okay, well, they were always completely understaffed. But still, when you send an officer to where there is no communication, where he can't talk on his radio and his cell phone has no service, they should have sent him out there that distance in twos. So you go out way out west of Mon County, nobody's going to hear from you. Nobody's going to hear from you. And Lodabar means no word, no communication. So between Mephibosheth in Lodabar and David in the palace in Jerusalem was a great distance, and you weren't likely to get any word or communication from that far out. That's what we're trying to stress here, is the great distance between the two. And it's no different if you're not a Christian. You are a great distance from God. Okay? You are either saved or you're not. You're not almost saved. You're not partially saved. You're not close to being saved. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. And you either have communion with God or you don't have communion with God. You're either a son or you're an enemy. Don't think that you have some type of advantage if you live in a pastor's house. If your grandpa was a pastor. Don't think that if your parents are Christians that you have, you know, some kind of in. Some kind of special privilege with God because your parents are Christians. You must become a Christian yourself. You must become a Christian yourself. Now, thank God that you do live in a Christian home. That gives you a great advantage to coming to know Christ. But there's still this great chasm between you and God, your Creator. There's still this wall of separation. There's still no legitimate communication. Mephibosheth was sought out by King David, not the other way around. Now hear me clearly. And I've stressed this over the years. Man left to himself will never seek after God. The Bible makes that very clear. Man does not seek after God. Man hates God. Man's a rebel against God. Man runs from God. Man hides from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:11, there is none that seeketh after God. So, you ought to be thankful. Brother and sister, those of you who are Christian this morning, listen to me clearly. You ought to be very, very thankful that you're saved this morning. You know why? Because it means God sought after you. It means God called you. Because on your own, you would have never sought after God. God sought after you. Man left alone does not seek after God. So, listen, if God is calling you to be a Christian, you ought to be very thankful that He is calling you. And you ought to be very fearful if you do not heed that call. You ought to be very fearful if you thumb your nose at the king. If the king summons you, you come. And if God is calling you to salvation, if He's calling you to be a child of His, if He's calling you to be a Christian, you know, you ought to be afraid if you do not answer that call. And if you reject that call, if you ignore that call. Mephibosheth was sought by the king. And I want you to know another truth here. I don't know what number I'm on, but he was received. Mephibosheth was received in his deformity. In other words, he came just as he was. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. He came just as he was. You know, we hear it a lot. I know you hear it a lot. And people have this idea that to be a Christian, they have to clean things up and fix things and make themselves right in order to come to Christ to be a Christian. You don't have to clean up or fix up or straighten up to come to God. You come just as you are. Mephibosheth was called and he was lame and he came just as he was. You don't have to clean up to come to God. But now listen, if you have no desire to be cleaned up, if you have no desire to be fixed up, if you have no desire to be straightened up, then don't come. Why go to a doctor when you know you're going to refuse the treatment? So if you're not a Christian, you don't have to be perfect to come to Christ. He's calling you because you are a sinner, because you are a mess, because you are lame from sin, because you are sick from sin. He's calling you and he wants to do something for you that you can't do yourself. But people say it all the time. People think it all the time. I'll become a Christian, but I got to clean some stuff up. No, you don't. You come just as you are. But if you have no desire to be well, listen, he came for, the Bible says that those that are well need not a physician. He didn't come for those that have no issues. He came for people that have issues. He died for people that are sinful. And that's you. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's you. You're sinful. You're broken by sin. Another thing is, Mephibosheth was received for another's sake, not anything about himself. Mephibosheth was not called and accepted based upon anything about him. It had really little to do with him at that point. He was sought out because David loved Jonathan. God does not call us and save us and give us this new life, an abundant life, because he thinks we're awesome. God doesn't look at us and say, man, you're awesome. I want to save you. No, he doesn't save us because of us. He calls us and he saves us and he gives us new life and abundant life because of his son. He does it for his son. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. So God doesn't seek out people that he's like, man, I think they'd make a good Christian. Man, I like them. But they got something about them. Boy, they would be awesome. I'm going to save them because they're awesome. No. None of us were awesome. None of us are savable. None of us were likable. But he sought us and saved us because of his son. Because of Christ, not because of us. God is not calling you because he thinks you're super duper. Not at all. Not at all. If he's calling you, he's calling you because of his son. Mephibosheth was sought because of Jonathan. Mephibosheth understood his position. He immediately bowed before his king. Because David was his king. David was his king. And even though he might have thought he should have been king, he understood David was his king. God is your God. Okay? God is your creator. God is Lord. God is King. Nothing you can do about that. That's what he is. That's who he is. That's the position he takes. And Mephibosheth understood this. And he bowed before his king. Listen, he swallowed his pride that he would have had as royalty. And he bowed before his king. He humbled himself. And he said, he called himself a dead dog. What do you want anything to do with this dead dog? And listen, my friend, that's the only way you come to Christ, is humble, bowing your heart and your mind before him. You cannot come to Christ proud and arrogant and boasting. You come to him only humbly. We are a worm We are a worm. Or as Mephibosheth said, we are a dead dog. We are nothing in the sight of God. We are worse than nothing. We are rebels that deserve to be killed. We do not deserve the mercy and grace of God. We do not deserve to be called to the palace. We do not deserve the good that God... We just do not deserve it. And always remember that, brother and sister. Always remember that. You never did deserve it. And the truth is, we still don't deserve it now. We are still under His grace and His mercy and His love. None of us are deserving. The only reason we have anything is because we are in the Beloved, because we are in Christ, because we do have on His righteousness. Of ourselves, we're not worthy of a thing. Mephibosheth understood his position, and he bowed before his king humbly, and he said, "I'm a dead dog. I don't deserve to be here." And then lastly, Mephibosheth goes on to live an abundant life. An abundant life. King David said, "Listen, all the lands that your daddy owned," and it would have been a lot, right? It would have been a lot of land. He said, "I'm going to give it all to you. It's going to be all yours, Mephibosheth. We're going to get the surveyors out there. We're going to get the county, you know, commission out there. We're going to get the tax man out there. We're going to get everybody out there. We're going to find out what all your daddy owned, and we're going to put that in your name. And not only that, we're going to this servant here, Ziba. We're going to have him and his sons. We're going to have them farm it all." And we're going to have them bring all the fruits of this land into your table. But you won't be there. You're going to be here. But they're still going to do that. They're going to farm all of this land. And they're going to bring it to your house. And they're going to build up your coffers and your storehouses. You'll have servants that do this for you. But you're going to be here anyway. You're going to be at my table. And the rest of your days, you will eat bread at my table. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Christ gives us life, and He gives us life more abundantly. Gives us blessing upon blessing upon blessing from above. The Father pours out blessings upon us. Just all types of good things from God. And our spiritual blessings are innumerable. Our spiritual blessings could barely be counted. And our physical, material blessings are many. Now, Ziba the servant, I'm not going to preach on this, but Ziba the servant was, of course, he didn't like what he was hearing. I don't know what he was doing before. You know, Brother Brian, you hate to conjecture, but I kind of think that Ziba might have been running like an old folks home and just stuck Mephibosheth in a corner and fed him hash browns and told him every day it was something different, you know. But now Ziba has to manage all of this land. Him and his sons have to manage all this land and plant it and harvest it and gather it, all of this. And he has to do it for a lame nobody. And Ziba didn't like it. And Ziba later, Ziba lied to the king about Mephibosheth. They were lies. They were not true at all. That's a tremendous story. You ought to go read that story. You ought to continue to read for several chapters and read that story, how Ziba lied. He wanted that life of ease back. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do with that land. And he lied. And do you know that Satan is called the accuser of the brethren and he lies about you? Now here's the thing. What Satan accuses you of before God, brother and sister, I hope it's a lie. I hope he's not rightly accusing you to God. How awful would that be that Satan would rightly accuse us to God? I hope that when Satan accuses us before God, I hope that it's a lie. Anyway, I said everything up to this point to say one thing. If you find yourself stricken in your mind, your conscience, grief stricken in your heart, you find yourself a guilty, laden sinner, coming before God and bowing before Him in humbleness, fear of the judgment, hatred of your sin. What you will hear God say is, fear not. I save you. I forgive you in the name of my Son Jesus. And you shall eat at my table and be blessed with my blessings. You're forgiven. But let me say this. I said it earlier and I repeat it. If you ignore the call of the King, you should be afraid. You should fear. But if you'll come to Christ, bow your head in your heart, fall before Him in humility, grief, guilt, repentance, faith, you will hear Him say, fear not, thou art forgiven. Let's pray.